Well, I'm pleased to be here, and I'm grateful for the tremendous turnout we have this afternoon. You've heard the facts, you've heard the science and the data, and now my presentation focuses a little more on the human behavioral side, the street-level political side, or as Mr. Trump would say, the art of the deal. I have no money, so I have no disclosures to make. American Dental Association is profoundly committed to community water fluoridation. We do that through our advocacy efforts. We do that through our member involvement. We have 160,000 members. Of course, there are, as you all know, several thousand dental students that are also committed to community water fluoridation. So the Army is on the ground. We provide materials for members and the public, and two of the people that I am honored to work with prepare some of those materials, and that is Ms. Sherry Clough and Ms. Jane McGinley, who prepare Fluoridation Facts, which is the state-of-the-art materials. So our communications efforts, I will tell you, we have a new Senior Vice President of Communications at the American Dental Association. Community water fluoridation is one of her top priorities, and we embrace that enthusiasm. We collaborate with other organizations, and as I see Chris Wood here and Dave Capelli and AAPD and Lauren Barone is here. So we collaborate with other organizations, and we convened the 70th anniversary of community water fluoridation at the ADA building, which is just up the street, as it were. And we were delighted to do that. And I'm from Michigan originally, and we take community water fluoridation very seriously because Grand Rapids, as you know, was a key in this country's community water fluoridation history. Jane McGinley's convened the National Fluoridation Advisory Committee, or NFAC as they're called. I'd like to say they're a top secret society of national fluoridation experts, but they are in reality a combination of 8 or 9 folks who are extremely smart. They email and or text and or call each other several times a day. So it is 24/7 with community water fluoridation at the ADA level. We also have the Council on Access Prevention and Interprofessional Relations, CAPER, as it's called, 19 members of CAPER, all of whom are committed to community water fluoridation. Two CAPER members are liaison members, one from the American Hospital Association and one from the American Medical Association, other organizations which embrace community water fluoridation. Our members are in the trenches at the local level, where I know you all are, and that is where the battle and the discussion is won or lost or discussed every single day. Community water fluoridation is one piece of the prevention puzzle, and we heard yesterday terminology that encompassed what our role is as public health advocates and practitioners. It involved information, inspiration, and equity. And I'm sure you all understand the fact, as I do, that community water fluoridation encompasses all three of those, and the opportunities are great as we go forward. Now, there have been more community water fluoridation challenges in the last several months. Jane can tell you how many years, how many days, how many weeks, how many minutes, but we know that this is ongoing. So how can you prepare for this? Well, of course, the best offense or the best defense is a good offense. If you want to prepare, prepare when you don't have to prepare. And always scan the op-ed letters and local newspapers. Community water fluoridation may pop up. The topic may come up at a city council meeting, a PTA meeting, a water board agenda. If you can follow these or have a local group that you work with that follows these opportunities, you will be prepared and ready when the situation, should the situation arise in a community. When you start to see flyers, posters, bulletin boards, blogs, any type of propaganda from anti-fluoridation groups, this is another signal that they have staked out yet another community. I'm always amazed at the opportunities that are taken by some groups to put this on the front burner. And another phrase is, we should stop this harmful practice. My husband, who's an attorney, would call this leading the witness, which is what he likes to do when we disagree over what movie we need to see. But anyway, that's another story. I put this slide in here because community water fluoridation is a tool in the arsenal of early childhood caries. It is not a coat of armor. And this young patient had a mom who said, but how could this happen? There's fluoride in the water. And so I put this slide in here to show people who may or may not have seen childhood decay at this level, to remind people that every single tool in the arsenal is important to prevent this, and that tooth decay in children is not limited to tiny holes in tiny teeth. This is what we need to promote as much as the science and economic data of community water fluoridation. So how does a community start to get touched or spooked or targeted by those who want to challenge community water fluoridation? Well, there are all these tactics and more, primarily driven by emotion. And it is true that the way to combat emotion is with data and facts. But another way to combat emotion is to provide local experts and local people to counter some of the emotional data with what people know to be safe and effective. And when you have local people carrying that message for you, it will be very effective. Well, some folks like to say, well, the president of the AMA is against community water fluoridation. Well, yes, he was in 1936, before water fluoridation actually started. You may also hear claims of Nobel Prize winners don't like community water fluoridation. Well, yes, those that had some statements to make before 1945 might have been against that. But in this day and age, in 21st century social awareness of health issues, these arguments are really sort of weak, but that doesn't prohibit them from being taken out of context and used against a community to frighten people. More flawed argument and emotion, well, it's linked, or I heard, or my wife got sick and we think it was the community water fluoridation. Shotgun approach is often utilized, lumped into bigger pictures of diseases, or the time-worn tactic of let's get a vote of the people, as if it wasn't a vote of the people in many communities that put this safe and cost-effective strategy into place to prevent some terrible disease. So relationships need to be ongoing. Relationships need to be, start them at any level that you or your folks in your community are comfortable with, but to engage local folks into these relationships. I was very close to our water engineer in Jackson County at the health center and thanked him periodically and would have him come to the health center to get thanks from the whole dental staff to talk about the importance of this, because those water engineers are on the front line. County commission meetings, city council meetings, show up when you don't have to show up. And there are many topics that are of interest to local folks at these meetings, so become a familiar face. This is a strategy, again, to familiarize the people who make the decisions with you and your message. And getting to know the legislators. Well, this is a practice that makes good sense anyway, whether you care about mouth guards for the high school football team or what quality of water is provided to a community. Getting to know the legislators is something, again, that you need to keep on an ongoing basis, and becoming familiar with other groups that have the same interest in health issues. Again, tooth decay, people have a mental image that it is a little hole in a tooth. Now, when you've got a young mom with this level of decay, you know that you've got some serious educating to do. But let's make tooth decay and the visual image of this important, because this is what we're talking about in population health. So how do you know you're getting together a successful campaign? You have community members and local officials. Shorter campaigns tend to be more successful, and higher voter turnouts generally favor fluoridation. The longer something is chewed up and debated, the odds are against a successful retention of community water fluoridation. Pre-campaign, again, before the drumbeat sounds in a community, get a local coalition together, again, built on successful relationships of political leaders, health department people, medical dental experts. Pediatricians are a key group to bring into this group. The soccer moms, your civic leaders, and your faith-based leaders. Again, the safety needs to be emphasized, not just from the scientific standpoint, but from community leaders who say, yes, it's safe, and I'm glad it's in my community. Planning is the key to success for maintaining community water fluoridation. A whole other animal is in starting community water fluoridation where there is none, and that's another conversation. But identifying the power people in your community, staying low-key and effective, again, not raising a big fanfare, but starting these relationships, keeping these relationships, and educating the people who are the power players in a community to keep the understanding at the front burner of the value of water fluoridation and the cost effectiveness of it. You can run this like an election cycle. Have that get out the vote and avoid a debate with anti-fluoridation proponents that tends to not work in your favor. That's just a strategy. We're not saying don't ever, but it tends to not work as well.